Hey, everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
And I'm George Affleck.
And oh my goodness, where to begin? We're going to start with the budget municipally for Vancouver. Then we got to go provincially because there's been kind of a crazy shuffle, right? A little something for everybody.
Yeah.
Then we got a GST thing. And then we're going to the U.S. It is time for
fun. Well, the blue sky. You and I be going back and forth on blue sky. Blue skies hanging on me.
Nothing but blue sky. I like it.
Do you?
I like it. I do. You know why? Because you don't get attacked. I could literally put a photo of my puppy on Twitter, and instantly, I'll have somebody, you lefty, da da blah blah. I'm like, okay. You know what? I'm over it. I'm over you, Twitter.
A lefty on Twitter and a righty on Blue Sky, probably.
I am. That makes me mushy middle, doesn't it? But what do you think? What do you think of Blue Sky?
Well, I mean, I got the non underscore name. So Twitter's the only place where I have the underscore. So that's why we always call me underscore. But yeah, it's okay. I mean, I worry. I just, you know what I hate about it? There's all these people making these big announcements. I'm leaving Twitter. I don't care.
I didn't do that.
A lot of people are. They're all, almost everybody I know from CBC, from my days, they're all like, not surprised. So I worry that it's going to be biased on the other right. So my argument, and I said this in a couple of, you know, Facebook posts from people usually, yeah. I said, look, you know, I think it's important. It's our job as humans now to find the balance. You got to go to Twitter. You got to go to Blue Sky. You got to go.
For sure.
You got to go to Fox News. You got to go to CNN. You got to go. You just got to CBC Global. You just got to do the work. You can't expect journalists to do all your work for you anymore because there aren't enough of them, sadly. It's really important that people don't just write off. You can be a voyeur, you don't have to, but it's important, I think, to balance your own consumption of media. Otherwise, your brain gets biased and you turn into a crazy person like so many people are.
What I'm thinking with the Twitter, you know what I did is I took Twitter and Facebook. Well, Facebook's been a couple pages off my front page of my phone or my whatever front screen, the app icon is over there. I don't have notifications on. I'm easing up on the gas pedal of it. And I had Twitter on my main home screen and all I did was just move it over there. So now I have to actively, as opposed to just hitting it, because you get into a habit of hitting it, right? And it's remarkable. It's like freeing. This last news cycle that brought us to the US presidential election was so intense. Like everybody was like,
I'm on a holiday.
Me too.
Holiday.
I just backed right out. I haven't watched CNN other than Have I Got News For You? Have you watched that show on CNN on the weekends? It's not CNN at all. It's like Jon Stewart, the Daily Show from back in the day.
It's not quite as good as the, what's the Canadian one we have on CBC, which I always like, where they have a similar structure.
Oh, God, totally Jesus. No. The Royal Canadian Air Force?
No.
Or the other one. What was it?
There, that one.
Oh, no, that was a good probably, one, though.
All those, anyways, it's on all the time. I've gone to see it live. It's similar to that, but I find it funnier, but maybe because it's got more of a Canadian sort of sense of humor, which is, I think, better than Americans, but.
I like the way they've done it, though. They inform while being funny. It gets spicy. But they also have, you know, the one this past weekend had a staunch Republican sitting at the table, you know, reacting and playing along, but also playing their role. And it's like got saucy and spicy and they drop F-bombs and it's like, whoa, that's a whole thing. Anyway, staying engaged is important. But when it's not good for you, you got to back down off of it. And I think there are a lot of people who, I mean, I blocked pretty much everybody that came after me on Twitter and I will continue to do so. So you see my feed differently than I see my feed. And let me tell you,
I don't block anybody. Yeah. But I also I've never used notifications on any social media at all. I go on there, I do my work, I do my whatevers and I do my checks and then I'm out because I don't want to be reminded constantly.
No, that's a good note. But you do want notifications on your emails and your text messages because that's where I need to get you, George. No, but we've been going back and forth this morning in preparation for today's Unspun podcast, by the way, which we will get on Blue Sky eventually.
One more thing to add on to
George's list of doing everything. He does all the back end stuff because he's Curb Communications. God bless you, George. But let's talk about a couple of things municipal related. Big news today about Park Board.
Our favorite. And you and I take a lot of heat for our support, unusually, for Ken Sim on this one.
Yeah.
I think it's political suicide for him in a way, because it's just, you know, he should have done it differently. We've talked about that. But today they had a big press conference. He's obviously doubling down. He must have the support of the premier at this point to hold this press conference. So basically, yeah. And he held it with the First Nations, the three First Nations groups in Vancouver. So there's something going on. There's clearly a path forward for him that he would hold his press. You read into it. So what did he announce exactly? Because it just happened half an hour ago.
Yeah, like minutes ago. I mean, it was on the docket, and then it was the announcement came through. And the thing I really like that you did mention, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh, the chiefs are all on board with dissolving the Park Board. The Park Board, which is part of the Vancouver Charter, which is unique to Vancouver, and every jurisdiction around here and across the country does not have a Park Board, and there are parks, and they are thriving. Our parks are not thriving. So there are people that are like, okay, we need to fix this. Where they got me as a check mark is it's going to save $7 million a year. And when you look at the grand scale of the budget, is that a drop in the bucket for some? Sure. For me, it's not. Not a drop in the bucket. $7 million a year adds up to $70 million in a decade.
1%
right?
tax.
1% tax. So we're going to get into the budget in a second. But the streamlining of the need to get things done is huge. I think that because the bureaucracy around the Park Board has been, as you know, I have gray hairs that I could associate to Park Board.
We're not swimming.
Oh my! I haven't swam. My favorite place since I was a child. I used to go every single day at kids' pool. I can't get in. It makes me crazy. But I mean, first world problems. I think the greater issue here is the complete disrepair, the utter disrepair and mismanagement of our parks. And that's not to blame one commissioner or another, just as a collective failure. All of our parks are really not great. The one other thing that I think is big, because people are saying Ken Sim's going to just develop all our parks. No, actually, in the announcement today, which I thought was very important, is that the permanent designation is coming to 30 parks in Vancouver. Some of those temporary parks that you see, and they will never be developed. And one big one, David Lamb Park, there are a couple of areas of Stanley Park that were still temporary park. They're all going to be designated permanent. So for generations to come, nobody can change those parks. So the NIMBYs that are like, well, they're going to build a tower there. No, they're not. They're actually not. And you'll have public engagement, which is also something that is lacking right now.
Well, the Park Board, especially, and I think it's opportunity too. You think about the Arbutus Corridor, which is overseen by the engineering department, the entire center of Cambie. If you live in Vancouver, these are big, giant swaths of green space that's underutilized. And the city bought, for example, the Arbutus Corridor, or the Greenway now it's called, which is not very green because it's basically a paved train track that was there from EPA a few years ago. And, you know, the city doesn't want to give it to the Park Board. This Park Board really, really wants it because, hey, it's our job to manage parks. That's kind of a park. It's called a Greenway. And as is the center of Cambie and all these other, as you mentioned, all these other locations that the city has kept control of. They're like parks, but they can't call them, you know, they can't make them official because then they have to give them to Park Board. So that will, you know, infuse a ton more controlled space for active lifestyles that we live in Vancouver. You know, if anybody's been to Vancouver, and if you live in Vancouver and you haven't ridden a bike along the Arbutus Corridor yet, you should. It's really fun.
You should.
Really nice.
It is. I mean,
now it is super fun.
Way more fun. Yeah, one way is harder than the other, unless you're on an e-bike, and then it's great.
The switchbacks they make it a bit easier, but it's great. And this is, and eventually you'll have this route where you can go up there, Arbutus, down around. You could potentially go to the foot of Cambie, ride along Cambie, or you could take the train back downtown. It's going to be really great. This is what Vancouver is all about. But everything gets held up because of, guess what,
Jody? Park Board.
Park Board. They can't get anything done. I mean, you walk down the waterfront right now, along in English Bay, And they haven't had bikes on that section of English Bay for how long? 7 years? 8 years? 10 years? I don't even know now. Eight years at least. They still haven't power washed off the bike thing. So people, tourists coming up, where am I supposed to ride? There says bikes here. And in some cases, they have the thing on the ground that says bikes. And then a big sign above it saying no bikes.
You're no like, bikes.
What am I supposed to do here?
I'd love to see a movement. Okay, I'm getting cart before the horse maybe here a bit. But one thing that I would propose to the new governing body of parks is to go in and take down every sign.
Yes.
And then figure out what sign is the most important sign and put that up.
Yes.
But the bureaucracy, the layers... I would love for you to do that.
And I'll just start
right in there, right in there, right in there. Done. PS. You know what it should be? It should be a QR code. Scan here to know the rules. Boom. Done. All of your signs are done. And it comes up in every language needed. Done.
There's a sign, and I brought this up. There's a sign at George Wayne Moore Park, right where I live. There's a beautiful fountain there. There's nice big rocks. And they put a really nice a metal sign along this beautiful rock that was there, about a 6 foot long sign that says, "Do not climb on this rock." So of course, what do almost every kid do?
And they're climbing on the rock in the park. Jesus. I didn't even know that. Full disclosure. I had no idea about that when I brought up those signs. It's trigger alert. It's our next thing. I want to be able to go to the pool without a reservation online. And I'd like for the signs to be taken out. And can we take care of the grass and the trees and the no more meadows going, whatever. Well,
we haven't got enough resources and we're not competent enough to actually cut the grass. That's what
right. That was crazy. We had two solid years of no grass cutting and just debacle. Anyway, let's go to the city budget because that takes us there. If we can save $7 million a year just by, streamlining the park board, I'm in.
Yeah, win-lose for Ken Sim and his team today. So I would say, from our point of view, we like changing the park board. But the budget, the first iteration of the budget came in. I guess it'll be a zero because we've had two 10% budgets approximately.
Remember the roof was leaking and we had to replace the roof. That was the excuse last time.
We had the biggest, it just came out. So I've only read the first few pages of it. But what is it, Jody? 5.6, but a 10.6 overall cost increase to taxpayers of Vancouver. 10.6, everybody.
10.6. Again.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, I'm lucky I live in a townhouse downtown, so I have 1,000 square feet or something, so my taxes are pretty good. But they've gone up by 40% in the last 10 years. So if you live in a house or you live in a bigger place or, we talk about taxes and a 40% tax increase. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. And you look down the balance sheet. It was nice to be able to see what is being spent fairly straightforward when you send me the screen caps of it. But it's like the city manager's office has gone up 25% in spending. Yeah. And then the internal audit has only gone up 1.2%. It's like,
so much for their audit.
I wonder where we might be able to cut some corners there.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Get rid of the audit team because 1.2% wasn't worth its money anyway, was it? You know, what's the point?
Exactly.
Zero.
Exactly.
Zero. You gave that zero value, audit team. Yeah. Thanks very much. I can cut this budget. Give me a pen. I'll take care of it for you.
Red pen. There's George. I did see Ken Sim, the mayor of Vancouver, on Monday because I was doing the Invictus Games launch of the school program at Seaforth Armory. The Duke of Sussex in town. You might have seen him as a surprise guest at the Grey Cup. I actually came back from my vacation a day early because I was asked by Invictus Games if I would host this event and hang out with the Duke of Sussex. And it was very cool. A lot of announcements around his little mini promo for Invictus Games, but the announcements around the opening ceremony, the Bare Naked Lady, Jelly Roll, they got some great...
That's a combo.
People coming. Yeah, it's going to be wild. It's going to be wild. And it's like, tickets are on sale. Get your tickets to Invictus Games.
Amanda was very jealous of your day with the Duke, which, by the way, the mayor kept calling Prince, which is not what you're supposed to call him anymore, right?
No, you're not.
Duke.
You're supposed to call him the Duke of Sussex. Yes. Or the DOS, as it showed up on all of our planning. It's like a very...
DOS.
And it's, you know what's really cool? And I will tell this sort of behind the scenes story. because it is all to the minute. Duke arriving, people, he's here, he's on the move, he's on, right? Like it's it's pretty intense. And then he rolls in, and he was supposed to be at this group of grade three students, or and this group of grade five students, and then over here to the grade 12 students or whatever, grade five, grade eight, grade 12. And there was, you know, 80 kids there, what have you. And he was supposed to just do 5 minutes here, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes here. And he slowed it right down. He reminded me so much of his mother. He had a moment with each of those children that was so meaningful. And the one thing that really stood out to me was when the youngest group in the grade fives, there's a young girl sitting at the end of a table. He's at the head of the table and she's, you know, three seats down, and they're all just looking at him like, holy moly. But this little girl at the end of the table, bright red hair, like full blown
ginger
red fellow. And he had a moment with her that he got up and went around and hugged her. Her face went redder than her hair. It was such a sweet moment. And I'm in the midst of reading The Spare. I'm two-thirds of the way through the Duke's autobiography, away from all the hype of when it was released. It's interesting to learn of his post-traumatic stress from not just what happened with his mom, but from his service in Afghanistan, and why he started Invictus Games, and the meaning behind all of this. Like, it's really cool. So I think I've said this a million times, but if you haven't watched Heart of Invictus on Netflix, please do. You'll learn more about the Royals than you see in a tabloid. The Daily Mail doesn't know what they're talking about. Anyways, end rant. Where are we going next? We're going to go to the provincial government.
I won't mention the sneakers that the, I wanted to mention the sneakers that the mayor wore just on Remembrance Day. Come on, dude. Like, enough with the casual attire. It's Remembrance Day. Don't wear running shoes, white bottoms. I mean, it's just tacky. If the one day, then just don't go. It's just disrespectful. I know people say, oh, you're so old fashioned. No, come on. There's guys that are 100.
Remembrance Day. Remembrance Day.
Respect. Respect, Mr. Mayor. Come on.
It was at the ceremony. I missed that. I was away. Yeah. So was it when he was, when laying the wreath at the.
Yep.
No, he could have put on dress shoes just for that and then gone to the Legion after in his running shoes. Like,
whatever. It's like, come on. Cool, man.
What do you think about the cabinet shuffles or the way the cabinet has been built now for the provincial government? Lots of changes there.
Yes. Well, Global got me on there to get me ranting because, you know, how I feel about spending money. And so every single person, 90% of the people who got elected by the NDP of this caucus got a nice little boost. They either got a cabinet post or they got a secretary position. So it's brutal. It's just like, okay, great. Everybody got a $30,000 to $50,000 to $60,000 raise on day one. You know, this is ridiculous. And it's like Oprah giving out, you get a car, you get a car. Everybody gets a post. Bull as shit. We're all here suffering. And, you know, you saw what happened down in the States. One of the reasons that Trump won was because of the economy and people feeling like they're, you know, they need more money. And here's a guy just not changing anything when he gets into office again. He wins the election by a sliver. Not really at all, really, because he's got to put the person in the speaker. So he's got no majority, really. And he's in there like already blowing all the cash. And we're going, hello. And the city's budget 10%. I mean, we're nobody's getting raises. We got a Canada Post strike on right now because they're saying we can't afford to live. I agree. We all agree. We don't all get like big. We don't have unions behind us, you and I. But I can tell you, if I send an invoice to my clients and ask for a 10% increase, they're going to say you're fired.
Thanks for coming. Thanks it was coming. Nice knowing you.
I'm going to find another agency. Goodbye. So
let's talk.
You know, it's out of control already. Day one.
It does give the big disconnect to the people that are feeling the pinch in a big way. And many, 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 dare I say, even millions of British Columbians who are feeling it in the pocketbook. And it is definitely a kitchen table problem when you're like, you're what now? You're what now? With you're spending what? On who? And then you look around. So on the upside, as a woman, I celebrate the fact that there are more women in this cabinet than ever before. I do like Nikki Sharma continuing as Attorney General. I have respect for her. I've had interactions with Nikki Sharma. I want her to do more of what she's doing. I know how difficult it is to get things done, but like with the sextortion stuff that she's been championing and that she's a deputy premier. Is that a little bit of a slap to Mike Farnworth to take that away from him? Is it just a movement thing? I don't know. No, I asked
him. I've met him a few times. He's a pretty casual guy. He comes across.
Farnie's great.
So he, I think he knows he's on his senior. Like he's on his, he's, what is, he's got to be pushing. He's older than me, I think. He's got to be pushing 70, right?
No.
How old is Mike Farnworth? He's got to be 60 something. No.
Early 60s.
Okay.
I would say.
You know, like.
He seems much older on TV. I'll put it that way. Like when I met him in person, he is fun and vibrant and chatty. But when he's standing there going, am I talking about three million services again? Yeah. He's stoic. Yeah. He's pretty stoic. He was good on Steel and Vance though. I really liked it when he came in studio. That was one of my favorite. Anyway, so that's not a slight. It's like, give somebody else a chance to.
Well, you got to think of the future of the party, right? You got who's next, right? So that's smart and something that Trudeau's not doing nationally. I think EB's thinking, okay, what's the transition of power here so we can stay in power for as long as possible? You know, given the vulnerabilities of the Conservatives, if they can't find the middle, then it's the NDP to lose every election moving forward, really. If the NDP can stay centered, then they have, they'd be very tough to beat moving forward.
Can you imagine being hot potatoed the health file?
It's not as bad as Children and Family Services. That's always the one you don't want.
True.
Thank you. That one, you know, and finance was interesting. Brenda Bailey, I thought that was know anything about her. She was my MLA. I didn't know what she looked like. That's how great she was. That's my MLA. Oh, so that's what she looks like. Huh. Now she's not my MLA and somebody else is, and it's what's his face who's now the Secretary of Solicitor, whatever his title is.
Solicitor General?
Yeah.
Solicitor?
Terry. Terry. Well, I don't know what the title is. Secretary. It's like a second.
Yeah, one. It's an interesting one that I'm not that familiar with. But
I'll be tweeting and blue skying my butt off in Yale Town and downtown. If you get two cops in charge of a provincial our policing system, you better get your act together, because as a downtown resident, we need to fix some things down there, please. But healthcare, yes, I think it was time for Dix to leave, right? He needed to move on. I'm sure he's happy to be out of there, even though he says he had work to do or whatever he was saying.
Right.
I think it's time. You got to give some fresh.
He's off. Transportation minister now, right?
Yeah, which is,
yeah.
Can we get something built? Under budget?
Please.
No? On time? No. So far,
I do like Lana Popham going back. She went to tourism last. She got shuffled back to agriculture, and that's where her passion lies. I have great respect for Lana Popham. She is engaged. She's somebody I see often.
Oh yeah.
Out. Yeah, and not like, you know, she doesn't politician.
Oh yeah.
She's actually cool. Like,
normal person.
I'm doing it. And can we acknowledge the John Horgan passing? I don't think because the podcast last week because I was away, but that really hit my heart, you know, like so many British Columbians and Canadians for that matter. I wasn't aware that he was, I know that the cancer had returned, but I'm blessed that they kept it as private as they did. My heart goes out to their family and certainly a too soon situation, right? Like,
and I was surprised at how young he was actually. I thought he was 10 years older than that, but 63.
He's been through a lot. Yeah,
I think what he did was for the NDP was bring it to the center, as we just talked about. So, you know, that's the challenge that EB has and all of them is to avoid going too far left. But I would say that Christine Boyle in the Indigenous file doing the, I think you're going to see some hardcore left wing stuff going on.
Like there. In what way?
Well, I think there's this whole decision on what to do with, you know, control of the lands and all that stuff that the NDP seemed to be willing to give a lot more than previous governments. And a lot of people are upset about that. So we'll see what happens. So I think
because they were giving that, and then they rolled it back. Cause it's like, wait, sorry, all of the parkland and waterland and everything.
Yeah. That's what it seemed to be saying. We'll see. I know we have some fans of our show who like to tell us, you know, that this is a real problem. And I think that's that. Let's keep us in the loop.
Let's keep having the conversation.
It's going to be in the small print on that one, I think.
Yeah. Well,
that file.
You know, truth and reconciliation is important. Mm-hmm. Doing it in a way that is balanced and mindful of the nation's needs. Like watching these buildings go up at the CENOC, watching those towers go up, I feel like it's progress, you know? Mm-hmm. And for me to say that to you, like, you have all of the leeway to say, told you so, because I was like, no towers. But now I'm looking at them like, you know, yeah, yeah. And the NIMBYs and the chaos makers around, you know, people need a place to live. And that's what happens when you peel back the bureaucracy. When you don't have 9,000 miles of red tape, you can get that built like that. Like, it feels like, here's what we're doing. And here it is. Cranes are up.
All rental. And I saw a friend from Tula tweeted this week, and it's not scientific, but she said she saw some rent go from 2,400 to 2,100 in some area. I forget, something like that. And she said, is this a sign of things to come? And it is, because guess what, everybody? Supply, demand. It's as easy as that. Build more. And because the province, and this is their credit, and we've said this, have taken control of some of this out of the city's hands to sped up the process. Then you get more stuff built faster, and maybe it upsets a lot of people, but we got to get this done.
Got to do it. And Ravi Kalyan remains as housing minister, which is not surprising. I think he's done a very good job at that, as per your point there. But what about the people when it's the NIMBYs who say, you know, these towers that are going up around Kitsilano and whatever, because it's mostly Kitsilano people that are screaming at the top of their lungs right now. They're saying it's only going to drive up prices. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, short term, those are going to sell. They're for sure.
You know
they're
what
going to sell. But
rent controls that drive up prices into the black market of rents. I've lived in Stockholm where they have rent controls, and I was subletting from a subletter.
The subletter's subletter.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And so we're paying market rate to somebody who was pocketing all the cash. You'd had a place for 30 years, had a house somewhere, and found a way around the system to keep this apartment so they could rent it out and keep it just in case for their kid in the future or whatever, because they don't want to give it up because they're paying like $400 a month. You know, people in New York, I have a friend in New York, he pays $600 a month for his apartment, and it's great. You know, he's a former professor. He's not doing too bad.
He could afford to live
there forever because of rent control.
He's not making space for the people who actually need that rent, right? I mean, I just couldn't believe it. You've gone through it with your kids. I went through it with my daughter Ivy. She was looking for a place, and she ended up renting a room in a basement suite in Kitsilano for $1,000 a month. But a room in a basement, in a basement suite.
Yeah, yeah.
So a shared situation with a new roommate who's worked out very well. But I mean, that was not my experience when I was renting in Kitsilano. Yes, it ate up a large part of my paycheck, but I can afford to.
I remember. Yeah, 30%.
Yeah. And I would work harder. I have an extra job, which you can't do. You can't work hard enough and have extra job enough to afford rents around here right now. So something's got to give, and hopefully the density will help fix it a bit. But going back to the people that are struggling and Canadians across the board who are finding it difficult to afford the necessities in life, the NDP have been rattling the Liberal cage to say, you know, to remove the GST from necessities. And today the Liberal government, Justin Trudeau, announcing that they're going to hit pause for 4 months on the GST on some necessities.
Let's do the math on that. Oh my God. Like, seriously, like, I mean, the NDP here did this whole give them cash back, basically $250. I think it's GST, but they say it'll equal.
Under $150,000, you'll get a $250 check.
I don't want my money back. I want you to just be more careful with the money you're getting and stop asking for more. This kind of cashback buy votes bullshit is, like, I've already said bullshit once in the show. So
you might as well. Once you get the explicit, George, you might as well. Bullshit cup of coffee.
It's a bullshit cup. It's just okay. But you know what? Quite often it works. So he knows it. And that's why he did it. And it's just, I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. It's not memorable in a way that's helpful to you. As a taxpayer or as a person, and generally just doing it's $250. Give me $250 a month is what I'd like to see right now.
Right. And or take the tax dollars that we use already and help people out of poverty so we can stop funding the nightmare that is causing the dystopian crime situation. Like, we can use our dollars better, I think would be.
Yeah, but build homes with that money. But you got my
wouldn't
money.
Wouldn't that be great? So we've only got like 30 seconds left to go to keep under 30 minutes here. But before we sign off, we have to mention, good job on us. We've only really talked about the United States zero today, other than staying off social media because of the consumption of it. But Matt Gaetz withdrawing his name as Attorney General officially this morning. So headlines. I think he got too much shine and Trump didn't like Matt Gaetz getting all the attention. I think that's what happened in the Unspun universe. Or is it the heat just got too high?
Yeah, it's like the challenge that Elon Musk is going to have with him, I think, as far as...
I think you're right. I think they're gonna eat each other alive. It's gonna be wild to watch. Yeah, anyways, you got your Dr. Oz, you got your Elon Musk, you got your... It's a wild time. It's a wild time. On social media, you can follow this guy at George_Affleck on Twitter.
Anywhere else, just George Affleck.
Just George Affleck. I'm at Jody Vance, Jody with a Y. I'm on Blue Sky and Twitter and TikTok and Instagram and all those things. Da, 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 da. And scene. Unspun Podcast. Like and subscribe. Give us your comments. Tell us what matters to you, what's important to you, and we'll talk about it every Thursday.
See you next week.